Okay. I'll go through the questions in the chat box first, and then we will open up for discussions for those who want to ask a question. First is from Sugandhi. She is asking, sense of I. Is it Chidabhasa? Is it Chidabhasa? The sense of I is Chidabhasa. I hope you're clear. The sense of I. That means there is a consciousness which is always existing, but when I'm aware, I am always aware with the mind. So the mind has got that reflection of consciousness. That is what is called a sense of I. One can lose this sense of I in meditation after a few sessions. Then you know a little bit more about Atma. Then what will happen is you will own up that sense of I as my real nature. I am Atma. It is no longer a sense, it is I am. I am is a claim. When you claim I am, there is no sense there. There is pure Atma. Initially, all of us will say, I have a sense of I, which is, I am attached to that Chidabhasa. I become aware that there is some light of consciousness in this body. Very good question. Sugandhi, are you clear? You have anything else here? Shanmugam is going to unmute all of you. So, if you have any clarifications on this, what I've explained.
Yeah, clear, sir. That means the sense of I is that hero in my body.
Yes.
Okay, sir.
Ultimately, it is the final thing which I should know, and that is there in this body along with the mind. Mind has thoughts. When the mind stops working, the Chidabhasa becomes very, very sattvic in nature. The Chidabhasa, that reflection becomes very strong in one's body. Yes, I am that light. That light is Chidabhasa. That light is Atma. It is the spiritual light. It is something which I didn't know it existed. And that is an eternal thing. I hold on to that as the self. As long as I keep holding on to that as the self, then what happens is you are claiming that as your real nature. You're trying to claim that I am always that pure Atma. In that Atma, there is no body. In that Atma, there is no mind. In that Atma, there is no universe. And that Atma is independently existing. What is the proof for that? Upanishads. Upanishad says that is the Atma indwelling in this body. First, I learned to understand that consciousness, awareness in this body. And then the Upanishad or the Bhagavad Gita will say, it will teach us that this Atma is all-pervading. It is not limited to this body. That is the second teaching, which again I will meditate on that. This Atma is not restricted to this one body. Good. Thank you, Sugandhi. Next is Manikandan. Is Krishna talking about gross body as Deha Drishti, or it includes Chidabhasa, also in verse number 12? Deha Drishti, whenever you talk about Deha, it is always with Chidabhasa. There is no body without Chidabhasa. That means body with reflected consciousness. The moment you are aware of the body, it has got the reflected consciousness through the mind, it comes to the body. So it is understood that I am not the Deha Drishti. Here, what he means is, I am not the physical body. Because Arjuna, Krishna wants to teach not the physical body, he wants to teach the gross body is just a passing thing. It is not real. It is just an appearance. It comes, it goes. Not only one body, all the bodies in the world. So, one way of looking at this teaching of the 12th verse is, in the 12th verse, we are making a difference, a distinction between three things. Stula Shariram, which is a body. Second, we are making a distinction of Chid Abhasa with the mind. That is the second, which we call it as the Jiva, the soul. And then the third distinction is, we are talking. We are talking about the chit. Chit means the pure consciousness. So, Deha Drishti, the moment you say Deha Drishti, it means that Deha has the Chidabhasa, because without Chidabhasa, there is no Deha. In sleep, where is the Deha? In sleep, can you talk about Deha Drishti? Because there, pure chit itself is there. There is no Deha. So the moment you talk about Deha, it includes Chidabhasa. Am I clear, Manikandan?
Sagarji, thank you. I have one query, but still I'm not clear in my understanding. Because you mentioned that before it is not there, and after also it is not there. Means after the death also it is there, the body is not there, and before the birth the body is not there. So Chidabhasa, but Chidabhasa travels, it continues to exist even after the death till it gets the new body. So this means this verse is limited only to the physical body, I mean gross body, or it includes Chidabhasa, because Chidabhasa is relatively eternal. It continues to be there till the even after Pralayam also. So that's what my query is like. This.
See, when you talk about Stula Shariram by itself, it is only very relative, only with reference to our waking state. That's all. So, physical body Stula Shariram is with reference to our waking state. Second,
Okay.
now we come to Chidabhasa. Now, Chidabhasa is something very different than the physical body, because Chidabhasa has got two components. One component is the subtle body, which is the mind. The second component in Chidabhasa is the reflected consciousness. The Chidabhasa is also relatively long till you get knowledge. Suppose you get knowledge that I am not the Chidabhasa, then what happens? The Chidabhasa is there till the Videha Mukti happens. During the end of Srishti, all the people who have understood that they are not the Atma, they feel that they are not. All the people who feel that they are the Atma, that means what? I have dropped my Chidabhasa and I have gone to the Chit. So, what happens to you? You are Jivan Mukti. Jivan Mukti means what? You don't attach any importance or any reality to the Chidabhasa. So the Chidabhasa, suppose you don't have any Atmajnanam, what will happen? This Chidabhasa is continuously in a cycle. Suppose you don't come to Bhagavad Gita, you don't realize these three factors separately. Only when you come to the 12th verse, you started understanding, oh, there is a physical side, there is a completely independent Atma, and then there is in between, there is something called as Chidabhasa. So, as you learn, what happens is you learn to drop the Chidabhasa and say, the Chidabhasa is not me. Whether it is now in the waking state, dream state, sleep state, Chidabhasa is always attached to either the physical body, causal body, or the subtle body. Without identification, there is no Chidabhasa. Chidabhasa is always identified with the three bodies, one of the three bodies. But how do I get out of this Chidabhasa? That is by knowledge of the three states of consciousness, which we study in Mandukya Upanishad, and you say, well, I am not this waker at all, I am not the dreamer, I am not the sleeper. Even while you're studying Bhagavad Gita, you can understand that I am ever free. Consciousness by nature does not have anything attached to it. This is very fundamental in your understanding of Atma Vidya. What is the Vidya? Atma does not attract anything. It is like the crystal. You can put a yellow flower, a green flower, blue flower, all the red rose on next to it. The crystal will appear red. It will appear red. Atma will appear as if it is with the gross body, subtle body, causal body. But in its nature, it is always free. I am asangaha. That is why when you tell in meditation, I am ever free Atma. Learn to say this in meditation. So what will happen? Whenever any calamity comes to you during your daytime, during your normal living, this thought will come to you. I am the Atma. Let me handle the situation. I don't avoid the situation. I do the situation. Whatever is required in a particular situation, I handle it. I do my duty. But inwardly, I remember, I am asangaha. Number one. Number two, I am nityaha. Number three, I am nirvikaraha. I don't have changes in consciousness. The thoughts change. The body goes from childhood, youth, middle age, young, adulthood, then old age. Body is going through this transformation. Mind goes through transformation every second. But I, the Atma, the observer of the mind, the observer of the body. Right now, I am observing my body. I can observe my hand. I can observe my face in the mirror. I can observe my body. But who is observer? Observer is Atma. Observed is Anatma. So Atma, Anatma, Atma, Anatma, Viveka, as you keep on doing, even in your day-to-day life, you say, I am the Atma, I am observing the body acting. Body is acting, no doubt. My body belongs to Prakriti. Prakriti means Panchabhutas. Panchabhutas are inert by nature. They are not sentient. They don't have the knowingness. Sentiency means what? I know the body. The knowingness is called as Atma's Chaitanyam. Am I clear, Manikandan?
Thank you, Sagarji. So your answer is like a mini Nididhyasanam. Thank you very much. It's very clear explanation. Really, thank you very much.
Thank you. I know you're getting lost because
it's very clear explanation because, you know, you crystallize the thought process, how we should move, you know, drop the gross as well as the Siddhabhasa and move to the chit.
Yes. Yes.
It's a very clear explanation. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, there are no other questions. I'll ask Shama. Go ahead.
Are you, Shekharji?
Yes.
And just in continuation of Manikandan, no doubt your sessions are like Nididhyasana itself, during the session. So, and it's just for the first time, actually, Shekharji, today it has been crystal clear that Bhagavad Gita is the core teaching, which you've said in the introduction, and you said it throughout. By the end of your session, it is crystal clear that Atma Jnanam is the core teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. If we know that, then the rest is secondary matter.
That's correct, yes. I want all the people who are listening today to understand exactly what Shama has said.
Yeah.
Bhagavad Gita means Atma Jnanam.
And it is just to be accepted 100% without having any this thing. And then we can continue debating whatever. But this must be just accepted.
Yes.
That's only correct. Truth, only truth in the search of truth, of who I am and whatever the world is and everything else, you know. So everything gets completely in that. So that is the most beautiful thing to take away from today. And therefore, I now know there never was when I was not all of us as well, and there never will be when I will not be. So the first principle of Atma Jnanam is crystal clear from the 12th shloka, the nitya part of it.
Yes.
Yeah. And all the dukkha seems to be fundamentally coming, whether it's our daily life or whether it is, you know, our mortal death or whatever, is coming continuously from this, where you think these moments will remain, this relationship will remain. You know, there is a kind of which is coming, the desire comes only from the ignorance, isn't it?
Yes.
But if we accept it, then just forget it, you know. There never will be, you know,
yeah,
where this same beautiful time will continue. You know, I'm here in this session, I will go out of the session, something else will happen, isn't it? So
yes,
that this impermanence, not only of the body, but our thoughts, everything is continuously changing. So that this nitya principle, so this is most amazing. And I don't know why it has finally struck deeply within me today after your class. So Atma Vidya Buddhi, Atma Vidya Buddhi, if I get, so that's this breaking it down to second, that every time I'm in my thought awareness level, I am thinking, where is my Buddhi right now? You know, is it based in Atma Vidya? You know, whatever I might be analyzing my thought. Yeah. So that's really the second thing which I took from today. Have taken. So I'm just making note. In fact, I was being like the Purva Pakshi, almost like how Arjuna starts, no? So while you were doing in the beginning, I had this question and I just want to say it in order to stop it, you know? So in this jnanam, there is a little doubt that doesn't it somewhere absorb me internally to the suffering that I see around, which I know in certain circumstances I can actually help. But I can say, oh, well, this is all each and every person's prarabdha. And so that kind of a little complacent feeling, oh, you know, it's none of my business, you know. Why am I bothered? You know, because I intrinsically by nature, I like to help. But here I just have a worry that will this Atma Jnanam make me at some point completely devoid of, you know, the natural compassion which I'm blessed with. So,
oh, that's, you see, that's a very valid
tiny
doubt.
Bit of a doubt.
Yeah, it's a valid doubt. But what Upanishads ultimately say, and also Bhagavad Gita, it says that the more clarity you have that everybody is the same Atma,
mm-hmm,
all of us are the same pure Atma, what will happen eventually is your compassion will increase.
Yeah.
Because you feel that other person is also me itself, I can help to whatever maximum extent I can, I will go ahead. So
Yeah, that I feel.
they say the result of Atmajnanam is your compassion will be multiplied by 100-fold.
It is already happening, and the
Yes.
problem is what I can't handle it, you know.
When you
So
can't handle it, you see that
my
there
Viveka Buddhi goes for this thing, you know. I
are. See.
can't separate, you know, and say, okay, enough, you know, leave that portion to the other person to, you know, help himself or herself out,
Yeah,
like right now.
this is a problem with all the doctors who come to Atmavidya, Atmajnanam. But a lot of doctors have told me in my group who have come, who have studied, who have said, they say that my compassion has grown
It has
because,
grown too much.
I feel one with everything.
Yeah.
You see, when you feel one with everything, what happens is naturally you will go out to help.
Yeah,
It is a natural feeling.
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah,
Thank you, Shama.
thank you.
Martina, go ahead.
Namaste, Shekhar ji. Thank you very much for your lovely lecture today. I have one quick technical question. So, in former classes, we have been saying that the ignorance lies in the Karana Shariram. And it is because of the ignorance in the Karana Shariram that the body appears, the Sukshma Shariram appears, and so on. So that the Karana Shariram is the Karanam for the two Karyas. Okay, and that is one thing. Now, on the other hand, Atmajnanam happens in the waking state, and Atmajnanam happens in the buddhi because any kind of jnanam can only happen in the buddhi. Now, my question is, when through Atmajnanam we say that Ajnanam gets destroyed, how will then dynamically happen the connection between that knowing in the buddhi and that original Ajnanam, which lies in the Karana Shariram? Because even for the greatest jnani, during sleep, that Mula Avidya will remain in the Karana Shariram, at least I think so. Of course, he is going to sleep knowing that I now go back to my pure nature, which is Atma Brahman. He knows it, but while he is sleeping, he will not know it. So, gets this Mula Avidya also destroyed? Or not? And how is that connection happening between the buddhi in the waking state and then this ajnanam being destroyed?
Okay, very good question, very deep question, and a technical question. Here, one thing we should understand is as long as I see this physical body, okay, as long as I'm aware of this physical body, there is ajnanam attached to that particular body's karana sharira.
Yes.
And the body has got prarabdha karma.
Of course.
So till the prarabdha karma of the body is there, ajnanam for that particular body is there. But a jnani is not connected with this body at all because he is already mukta purusha, in the sense that
Yes.
jnani is already
Absolutely.
crossed the mula vidya and he says, okay, I am already always free. In his view, what will he look at? He will say there is one body, there are millions of bodies which I'm seeing in the waking state. This body is also another body. There are so many bodies I see in the waking state. This is also another body in the waking state, but I am not at all connected with it. You see, he is soaked, he is absorbed in his intrinsic nature. I am Satyam. I am Atma. I am Satyam. I am ever free from any identification with any body at any time.
Yes, absolutely. So basically,
So his Mula Vidya is gone. There is no more Mula Vidya. That is why he is called as a Jnana.
But Can I deduct from that that really speaking, that Mula Avidya, which anti the prarabdha of the body, is still running?
It still
It
runs.
will remain in the Karana Shariram, but
Correct.
then it will go at the moment that the physical body falls.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, so the consequences of getting that Atma Vidya in the waking state will only happen at the moment of exhaustion of the prarabdha karma,
That's correct.
technically speaking.
Yes.
Okay.
This is the teaching right now here in the Bhagavad Gita in the 12th verse. Whatever you are learning. Tomorrow, I'm going to teach Mandukya Upanishad.
Yes.
In that session, it is a totally different analysis.
Yes,
I will,
absolutely.
you know, it is, that is why the context is, you have to see the context.
Yes,
In current
absolutely.
context, whatever you're saying, the answer is 100% right. But tomorrow, when we take the Mandukya Upanishad, the same question, you will understand that that question itself is wrong question, because in consciousness there is no world.
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
Okay. Thank
Thank
you
you.
very much.
Thank you.
Namaste.
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 Anybody else has a question? Anybody new who has come here today is attending meditation for the first time? Anybody new who is doing meditation? I would like to have your response if there is somebody. I don't see any. Okay, Radha Krishnan Kohan, okay. Sugandhi is also saying, okay, since Atma is, okay, Soumya Ranjan is saying, since Atma is beyond even the intellect, even as I undertake this study of Bhagavad Gita, how can I make the jump from understanding things intellectually to realizing the truth? Yes, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. These are the three methods by which all of us, whether it is today or whether it is during Shankara's time, it is the same process. I listen, then in my own mind, I contemplate. Whatever I have listened, I contemplate. How do I do the contemplation? Bhagavad Gita, okay, you have listened for 1.5 hours today. Only one thing you might understand. Am I the Atma? Am I the Atma? You ask yourself. If I am the Atma, what is my nature? Am I awareness? Am I consciousness? Okay, if I am consciousness, next question. Am I conscious all the time? Am I aware all the time? Yes, in the waking state, I'm aware all the time. In the dream state, am I aware? Yes, I am aware. Because I am aware of my dream. Next question. Sleep state, am I aware? Yes, I'm aware. I'm aware of what in the dream sleep state? I'm aware of nothing is there. So awareness, has it left me? No. Awareness is there in all the states. So this is the way to contemplate. You listen, you contemplate, you conclude. Ah, I didn't know that I was awareness. Something new I have learned in Bhagavad Gita. Can I change my notion in the intellect? I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am the awareness. That is what is called as Nididhyasana. Once your conviction is there, Gita has taught me, I am pure consciousness, I am pure awareness. Then the conviction, once the conviction has come, now you want to make it internalize and say, I am that consciousness. That is what is Nididhyasana. So three processes are involved. Without these three processes, nobody can say, I have concluded my spiritual learning. At the end of Nididhyasanam, your own intellect will say, I am Atma is my 100%, my own true nature. Even if somebody comes and tells me I'm not Atma, I will not believe anymore. So that is what is the three processes. Soumya, am I clear? Yeah, Ranjan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ranjan. Okay, you mentioned about one little question of chit and chitta. Chitta means memory. Chitta and chit. So that chit means consciousness. Chitta of ahankara means memory. And then ahankara. So manas, buddhi, chitta and ahankara, these are the antakaranam, functions of the antakaranam.
Yeah.
We have bahya karanam and antakaranam. Bahya karanam means it is the legs and hands, and these are karanams. Antakaranam means which is inside us. It is an instrument which is inside us, and that has got four functions. It is one instrument with four different functions. Like you have a VCR, VCP, and we have a mobile which just can take photos, and it can also record. It's got a voice memo. It's got a camera. It's got so many other features. So similarly, one buddhi, one mind or antakarnam has got a capacity to have emotions, which is mind. Capacity to think, intellect, rationalize. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it something? Is it dharmic? Is it adharmic? It is a rational instrument. It's rationalization, means it is rational thinking. But manas means it is always a pendulum. Should I, you know, Atma may be there, may not be there. You know, sometimes my mind thinks Atma is there. Another time it thinks it's not there. Or emotions, you know, I am feeling very happy. I'm feeling very sad. I'm feeling angry. I'm not feeling angry. You know, these are all emotions. But I am aware of the emotions. I am aware of the emotions. Emotions are not aware of me. Thoughts are not aware of me, but I am aware of thoughts. So I am sentient being. I am a conscious being. That is my real nature. So conscious being is the spiritual being. So I, from a human being, earlier I thought I am a human being. I am still a human being attached to the body. Whenever I'm looking at my body, identify with the body, then I can call myself as a human being. But when I'm not attached, when I'm not identified with the body, as in sleep state.
Yeah.
In the sleep state, who am I? I am a spiritual being. And the teaching of the spiritual being, the nature of the spiritual being, is Bhagavad Gita's central teaching.
So the antakarna is basically the instrument of chidabhasa, isn't it?
Yes, like the body is also one instrument.
Yeah.
The gross body is one instrument.
Yes.
Of chidabhasa. So the reflected consciousness can attach itself to the sense organs, like jnanendriyas.
Yeah.
Whenever the chidabhasa is attached to the eyes,
yeah,
then it is called as the seer.
Yeah. Which is the inner processor, isn't it?
Yeah, these are all inner processes which are happening.
So manas, buddhi is doing the discrimination, sankalpa, vikalpa. And then the chitta has to be, it is accessing the past memory files, isn't it?
Correct. Chitta is a database of all the past
memories. Yeah. So all the time it is reaching there. And just one other thing in the same connection, you mentioned in your talk about worry analysis. And I was thinking, is it not a conscious process which we could employ as a Vedanta or spiritual seekers, that not only You don't have to have certain sorrowful or difficult thoughts. Why can't we, even very happy, excited, joyous thoughts, should it not be consciously presented to the Antakarana to just see, okay, so what is this? Why am I feeling too excited, for example? It cannot be, it's not worrying, but
Yeah,
should that
correct.
also
You
not be?
can also substitute with good thoughts, and but the problem is we are not worried about good thoughts. We are only worried about our worryful thoughts. If good thoughts come, we are never bothered about it because we are not even conscious about it because we feel our life is so pleasant and it's kicking and so on, you know?
Which is using that as a training ground, you know, that why should we wait for?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct. So it basically we try to analyze worry more because we feel that it is something which I have to tackle.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else has any other question?
Sir, one question, please.
Yeah, Siddhanta, go ahead.
Do emotion play any positive role in our life?
Oh, there are good emotions and also bad emotions. So emotions can play a positive role, emotions can play a negative role. Suppose you have an emotion, I must succeed in life, I must be ambitious. These are all positive emotions. They are good. They're good to have because they keep you motivated. So as long as you have good emotions, very good. But good emotions, they don't disturb us. What disturbs us is the bad emotions. Yesterday, I was angry for 1 hour. That anger is still there. I'm remembering that anger. I know I shouted at somebody or somebody hurt me. These are all emotions which I keep on worrying about it. So what Bhagavad Gita says is, realize these emotions are only thoughts. They are thoughts in the mind. They will have a process of coming and they will also disappear. They will come, they will go, they will come, they will go, but you are not that. See, with the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, what we will say is, yes, I had emotions yesterday. But I'm not caught up in that. I am there, but they are not me. Emotions are there in my mind. They are there in the mind for all of us. Emotions are, your basic question is, are there good and bad emotions? Yes, there are good emotions, bad emotions. Good emotions, you cultivate. Bad emotions, whenever they rise, you say, I should get out of this. And as you learn to watch your mind, you will get a faculty to drop your emotions. Normally, without understanding that I am the pure consciousness awareness, without this knowledge, emotions will be overwhelming you. You'll be drowned in emotions. So, a person who doesn't know this Atma or this pure consciousness or awareness as his real nature, he will be drowned in emotions. So, the question is, do you want to be overwhelmed by the emotions or do you want to be in control of the emotions? So, a Bhagavad Gita student will be in control of the emotions. Does it answer your question?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr.
Yeah,
Sir,
Jacqueline.
I have a question. Okay, in English, there is consciousness, subconsciousness, super consciousness. So is this the same as just equal to pure consciousness in Gita?
Which one? consciousness, subconsciousness, or super consciousness?
No, the three of them is
yeah.
equivalent to the pure consciousness in Gita. The reason is in English, they have consciousness, subconsciousness, and super consciousness. So I'm just asking, can I just equalize it to consciousness, pure consciousness in Gita?
Yes, you can make a common name. You can give a common name to all three of them and say that it's all consciousness. It's all consciousness. Don't say pure consciousness. It is okay. You can say pure consciousness because it is made of the same material. It is awareness. Whether you call it super consciousness, subconsciousness, consciousness, these are all you are giving it three different names for three different contexts. They are contextual names.
Okay, so basically, I mean, I heard correctly is, they are equal to awareness.
Yes.
I put it in a simplistic manner that in Gita, awareness, we are awareness where we are awareness where we waking, dreaming, sleeping. Then all of this is awareness, and what I just asked. Consciousness, whether subconsciousness equal to consciousness, equal to super consciousness. In fact, all this, made in a simple term, is equal to awareness.
Absolutely right. You got it.
Okay, appreciate.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll stop here. There are no other questions, and then we'll continue next week. Thank you. Namaste.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shekharji. Namaste.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you.